Good morning, Rabbi. Good morning. It's been a long time. I feel like I should introduce myself. Oh, yeah, the Marcus. Nice to see you all. Okay. So, Rabbi Margaret and said you have to lie with him a days. Four lines from where they get wide. The beginning of the line, Itmar? Itmar, okay. So the Gemara has a very fundamental machlokes over here, how we look at the distinction between when a woman has Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tahara after she has a birth. So the Gemara begins, the Gemara says, Itmar. So we'll set over. Rav Omar Mayon Echotu. Rav says that really Mayon is understood by the Mefarshim as being, it's one source. That when a woman, whether she sees dam during days of tumah, during days of impurity, whether she sees dam during days of purity, it all comes from the same place. So, hatarati masai v'hatarati arasai. It's a gzeras hakosov that if she sees blood after a birth, during the days of tumah, so for after a boy it's 7 days, for a girl it's 14 days, so the Torah says that dam is tumah. And afterwards, whatever blood she sees comes from the same source, but it's tar. The Torah decrees that it's tar. Mayon Echotu means that it comes from the same place. The Levi Yomar, Levi maintains Shnei Mayonusim. That really, on a superficial level, Levi seems to be saying that it's coming from different places. Shnei Mayonus means two different sources. The blood that she sees during Yemei Tumah is from one place, and the Torah says that blood from that place is Tameh. The blood that she sees during Yemei Tahara is from another place, and the Torah determined that blood is Tahar. So we say Nistam HaTameh, so after the Yemei Tumah have passed, so the source of the Tumah blood, our Nistam, have been closed off, and now the new blood that she's seeing during Yemei Tahara are Niftach HaTahar, and have been opened. So that blood's coming from a different place. Or vice versa, Nistam HaTahar, after... So for a Zohar, she has 40 days of Yemei Tahara. After those 40 days are over, so then we say the source of the Tahar blood has now been closed or blocked off. Niftach HaTameh, and now the new source of Tameh blood has been opened, and whatever blood she sees after 40 days for a male and 80 days for a female are now Tameh. So it seems that, again, on a superficial level, that Rav and Levi are having a machlokes in Metzius, and what the biological reality of the woman is. You know, does she have different blood vessels that produce dam during Yemei Tumah and different blood vessels that produce dam during Yemei Tahara? So the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, so he writes that's not the case. Specifically when it comes to Hilchos Nida, often we find that Chazal use terms that don't seem to jive with the biological reality that we're familiar with. Now, that's not meant to get anybody nervous, and even if it does, it's okay. We still go with Chazal's understanding of things. But the Chassam Sofer in a couple of places, he does try to understand, you know, certain terms that Chazal use, a lul, and a cheder, and a prosder, a hallway, and a chamber, and all these things, like, you know, he's talking about a woman's anatomy. It sounds like we're talking about, like, a mansion over here. So the Chassam Sofer does try to resolve or allow us to understand a little better, even based on our understanding of the Metzius, what Chazal are referring to. So he says in this Tshuva in Kuf Nun Daled, he says, it's poshut that we're not talking about two different sources for blood. Everybody knows that when a woman sees dam, unless she has some sort of injury, it's coming from the makar, from the uterus. Rav and Levi both agree to that. And it's the same blood vessels which produce that dam, whether it's dam tumah or whether it's whether it's dam tahara. He says, Rav maintains, though, Rav says that it's mayon nechad, and it's gzeras hakosov, that during Yemei Tumah it's tumah, and during Yemei Tahara it's tar. Because that Levi also understands that it comes from the same blood vessels, from the same physical, biological source. Levi just maintains that the sibas hadam, the cause, the reason why the woman sees that dam is different during Yemei Tumah than during Yemei Tahara. And that's why, so it's not merely gzeras hakosov, but it's the Torah saying that during Yemei Tumah the blood is tameh because it's blood being caused by a specific set of causes of Yemei Tumah. And during Yemei Tahara the blood is tar because that blood, although it's coming from the same physical place, is blood being produced by a different set of causes, although it's coming from physically the same place. That's Levi's opinion.
trigger, so to speak.
Yeah. So he narrows down the machlokes Rav and Levi not to being a question of metzias. Where's this blood coming from? We all know where it's coming from, but the question is whether the sibo, the trigger for the blood, is that different between Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tara, or according to Rav, it's all the same thing. It's just Gzeiras HaKosel. That's how the Chacham Sofer explains it. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says like this. So Mai Binayu, what is the practical difference between the opinion of Rav and Levi, whether you say it's Mayan Echad or Shtei Mayonis? The Gemara answers, Iko Binayu, there's a difference of Shaifas, Mitach Shiva, La'achar Shiva. If the woman experiences a continuous flow during the 7 days of Tumot, meaning we're talking about a Zohar where she has 7 days of Tumah, La'achar Shiva, to after 7 days of Tumah, when her Tahara days begin. So she experienced a continuous flow, which means that we know that it's not blood coming. It's not a different flow of blood. It's the exact same flow. Meaning the way that according to the way the Chacham Sofer explained Levi's opinion, it was blood produced by the same set of causes during Yemei Tumah as during Yemei Tahara, because this blood started during Yemei Tumah. Mitoch harbasa or la'achar harbasa, or if she had a continuous flow after having a girl within 14 days, that continued to after 14 days were over. Or the reverse case would be, she started seeing the dam. She had the flow began during Yemei Tahara of a Zohar within the 40 days, and continued to after the Yemei Tahara. Or after she had a girl, the flow began during the Yemei Tahara and continued to after Yemei Tahara of after 80 days. So the Gemara explains in Afkamina, L'Rav, Reisha L'Kula, V'Seifa L'Chumra. According to Rav, in the first case, meaning where she began seeing the dam, the flow, during Yemei Tumah, and it continued into Yemei Tahara, so it's a Kula. According to Rav, it doesn't matter to us that it's all one flow. It's a Gzeres HaKosov. It's not totally on the biological reality or the Sibus of the dam, but rather just when she sees the dam. So it could be the same flow, but she saw the beginning of the flow during Yemei Tumah, that blood is Tumah. And she sees the second half of the flow, although it was continuous during Yemei Tahara, so that blood is Tahar. It's irrelevant to us whether it's the same flow or not, according to Rav. So that's why the first case would be Lakula. The safe of the Gemara says, according to Rav, Lachumra. If she began seeing the flow during Yemei Tumah, and it continued into Yemei Tahara, according to Rav, since it's one flow, so even though it continues into Yemei Tahara, since it began during Yemei Tumah, so she's Tumah. I'm sorry, I didn't explain correctly the first half of Rav. According to Rav in the Reisha, when it begins in Yemei Tumah, and continues into Yemei Tahara, so we say that she's going to be tar during Yemei Tahara because although it's Rav says it's one flow, but that doesn't matter to us. Lamaisa, she's tar. And according to the Seifa, where she began during Yemei Tahara, and it continued into Yemei Tumah, so it's still going to be Tumah, because even though it began in Yemei Tahara, but right now she's singing Yemei Tumah after the 40 days or after the 80 days are up. The fact that it started as a flow of tar blood doesn't matter to us, according to Rav. That's insignificant. Right now, what she's singing is Tumah. That's enough.
Why can't you say whether from the Tame days to Tara days and say whether that was a continuous flow? Why have to go from the after now? Except from the Tame days to the Tara days, and one was when it goes continuously,
right?
And one is when it stops. That's not.
Well, we're trying to show an afkamina between Rav and Levi. No, where it just stopped? Well, when did it stop? Did it stop during Yemei Tumah? Well, it started. When did it start and when did it stop in your case?
Well, it stopped a second before, 5 minutes before. 5 minutes before she became Tahar. So in that case.
So then everybody would agree it's Tumah.
And if it went through the whole time.
So then that's an afkamina. According to Rav, that it's Mayon Echad. It's just the Gzeres HaKosov that the Torah said, if you see it during this time period, it's Tahar or Tameh, so it's Tahar or Tameh, nothing changes. But according to Levi, we'll see it makes a difference. So the Levi, the Gemara says, Reisha L'Chumra V'Seifa L'Kula. According to Levi, the Reisha is L'Chumra. So again, the case of the Reisha was, she starts the flow during Yemei Tumah, it continues into Yemei Tahara. So according to Levi, since Levi says that it's Shtei Mayonos, Shtei Mayonos. So she started during Yimei Tuma, and it continues into Yimei Tahara. So even though it didn't stop, so Levi will say the initial Mayon, the place where the Tuma blood came from, never ceased. It never stopped. So we have to say that the blood she's seeing now during Yimei Tahara is also coming from a place of Tuma. So it's going to be Tuma as well, according to Levi, who says, it's Shtei Mayonos, meaning if it's Shtei Mayonos, there needs to be a break between the blood of Yimei Tuma and the blood of Yimei Tahara for the blood of Yimei Tahara to be considered Tahar. If there's no break, that means that even what she's seeing during Yimei Tahara really was Tuma blood, because it started from Yimei Tuma. So that's why the Reish is going to be a Chumra, according to Levi. So the Levi, Reisha L'Chumra, the Seifa L'Kula. The Seifa is going to be L'Kula, according to Levi. Because since she didn't stop, so she started during Yimei Tuma, that's the case of the Seifa. She starts during Yimei Tahara, and it continues into Yimei Tuma. Starts before the 40 days are up for a boy, or before the 80 days are up for a girl. And then it continues. So although now, the end of the flow she's seeing during Yimei Tuma, after the 40 days or after the 80 days, since it's all one flow, which started during Yimei Tahara, so we identify it as Tahara blood. And I was like, again, according to Levi, in order for it to take on a new halachic status, there has to be a stop between the flows. If there's no stop, so it's nigrar, it's identified based on the beginning of the flow. So if the beginning of the flow was Yimei Tahara, so that it's still Tahara.
The stop that we're talking about has to be a non-stop, we're seeing it's non-stop, then it gets its nafkamina, but what happens is it stops in the middle of Yimei Tahara,
yeah.
It starts again.
During Yimei Tuma?
Yeah. Or Yimei Tahara.
And Yimei Tahara starts again?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that it has to be continuous. Mamish continuous, or but at the end of that time, it started again. You know what I'm saying?
So, you're right. You have to, what's the get there for Shaifa?
That's right.
I mean, if a woman has a continuous flow of blood, I mean, for too long, she's going to end up in the hospital. That's essentially what you're asking. Right, it's a good question. It could be, what? No, she's not going to the hospital? You lose too much blood, it doesn't kill you?
When you're saying continuous flow of blood, you're applying in your statement.
Yeah.
That it's a large flow.
Could be like a little tiny thing, right?
Especially premenstrual.
No, I'm saying, but even spotting. Spotting generally means a little bit comes out, and a little bit comes out, and a little bit comes out. It's not like there's a faucet that was turned on, and then blood just continuously comes out. What? You say it could be that.
That doesn't change the status of women, at least nowadays.
Right. No. Nowadays, I mean, this had my focus on halacha lamaisa, obviously, because we're discussing her status of Tuma and Tahara regarding Kabonis and Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, the halacha is, the Gemara says, that Benois Yisrael, even if she sees a tiny drop, so she considers herself Tuma. But there are applications in halacha. Somebody, in the Pesachim talk about Mayona Sosum or Mayona Pasuach, if it's like a new flow or an old flow. In halacha, when we say that a woman is Mayona Pasuach, it doesn't mean that she physically, it's like a faucet that was turned on and blood just is continuously coming out. It means that she did not detect any break in the flow of blood. In other words, let's say she checks herself at certain times during the day, a certain amount of times during the day. Whenever she checks herself, she always sees down. So we consider that, okay, so it's Mayona Pasuach. The flow is considered in this situation as being continuous. The Gemara means that over here also. It doesn't have to mean, to answer your question, it doesn't mean literally nonstop, but it means whenever she checked herself, she never detected a point in time where she normally checks herself and sees that there's no blood. But no, when she checks herself, she always sees blood, so that's considered Mayana Pasuach over here. That's what I would think. I was thinking about this also, what the Gedev Lachar. My guess is it would be the same Gedev Shefas and what we talk about in contemporary Halacha. Although this particular Machlokes is only relevant for Yimei Tuma and Tahara. Okay. Says the Gemara,
you can see blood elsewhere changes the halachic status without any cessation of flow in the different settings. In terms of Shpita, there's difference between Dam Chai and the dripping blood.
Yes, right.
And
Dam Chai Neshama Yodin.
There's no absolute point of difference between the two.
So, I mean, the Gemara and Chulin says the difference is how strong the flow of blood is and its coloration. In other words, darker or lighter shade of red.
What I've always understood it's initial blood, then the Dam Chai, then the dripping blood.
Right, but the Gemara does have simonim. The Gemara does give identifiable signs.
For whatever it's worth, so it's in black and arterial blood, which is red.
That's worth a tremendous amount to me. Thank you for sharing that.
But, And it also explains what I just went through, which is at the initial blood, jugular is certain.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're a little cool now. That's right. Yeah. Okay.
This is something I've thought of for a while. But so, you can have a change in the lymphatic status, which does not mandate a cessation of flow, at least.
In other areas.
Area.
Right. Needs is a little different, but yeah. Okay, so the light. Right. Another statement. Okay, says, let's see Rashi. Mayan Echadu. It's just about like halfway down the Amud of the Rashis. It's hard to count, halfway down this Amud. Mayan Echadu. So again, Rav said that it's coming from one place, from one set of causes. Mayan Echadu, says Rashi, Dam Habobi Me Ledo. The Dam Habobi Me Toihar Me Mayan Echad Him Bon. The dam which comes be meleido, meaning during her tumah days, and dam which comes during yemetayar from her, not from yemetara, mayanechad himboin. Again, on a simple level, mayanechad seems to the interpretation would be one source, but as the Achronim explained, that's not really the machlokas Rav and Levi. Everybody agrees it comes from biologically the same source. The question is, what are the triggers for that dam? Hatorah timasa, says Rashi, kol shiva lezochav yodalim lenekeva. So for the 7 days after leido for a boy, and 14 days for a girl after the birth, so those are the Yimei Tumah. V'atara Tiarosa, the Rav says. And the Geras HaKosav is that after those days, any blood she sees, Achar Mikain, so she's tar. Levi says, no, Zakir Ashi, Nistam HaTomeh, that it's actually a different type, it's a different flow. Nistam HaTomeh, that we say that La'achar Shvu'ayim, that after the 2 weeks, the 14 days of Yimei Tumah for a girl, that the source of that blood has been blocked off, so to speak, the niftach hatar, and now the blood she sees after 14 days is tar blood. It's coming from a different set of causes, sources. And nistam hatar, after 40 days for a male, or 80 days for an akeva, we say nistam hatar, the place, the source of the tar blood has been blocked off now. And la'achash manim, says Rashi, after 80 days, the niftach hatame, and now the blood that's tame is coming from a new place, so to speak. So Rashi continues, we said that L'Rav Resha, according to Rav in the first case, which is, says Rashi, D'Shaifas Mitoichi Meitumo L'Yemei Tahara. She begins the flow during Yemei Tumo, and it continues into Yemei Tahara. L'Kula, so that has a lenient halacha, U'Tahara, she's Tahar. The Alpha Gavad like Posak, and even though the blood didn't stop, D'Hatara Tiarotha. So what, Rav says, that the blood began during Yemei Tumo? It's like Zeres HaKosov. Even though it's coming from the same place, now that the Yemei Tumo are over, and we've begun Yemei Tahara, the blood is now tar in Yemei Tahara. The Seifa, according to Rav, the second case is the Shofa Mitoich Mem. She began her flow during Yemei Tahara, within 40 days. La'achar Mem, and it continued into after 40 days for a boy. Umitoich Pei, or for a girl, began within 80 days. La'achar Shmoinim, and it continued into after 80 days. L'chumra, so there the halacha is L'chumra. So again, we say the same logic, but just in the reverse. It doesn't bother us, it doesn't concern us that the blood began, she began seeing the blood during Yemei Tahara. Now that she's seeing the blood during Yemei Tumah, she's Tumah, even though it's physically, biologically from the same flow. But we said, the next Rashi, Levi Resha L'chumra. According to Levi, it's the opposite. The first case, where she began seeing during Yemei Tumah and it continued into Yemei Tahara, the halacha is that she's Tumah. Says Rashi, Kevon de Leiposko, since the flow did not stop, Eloi Nista Mayon Tome. So the Chiddush is that although the blood she's seeing now is being seen during Yemei Tahara, but it's really the same flow that began during Yemei Tuma, so that blood is still Tome, even though it's being seen during Yemei Tahara. And the Sefer Lakula, according to Levi, in the case where she began seeing during Yemei Tahara and it continued into Yemei Tuma, so the halacha there is to be lenient. Why? Because the Kevin de Leiposka, since, again, it's one flow which began during Yemei Tahara, Lenista Mayan Tar, so the blood that she's seeing now, even during Yemei Tumah, is still identified and classified as Tahara blood, so she is Tar. Okay, so now back
Does
that affect
any of this?
No, we don't
toll like this.
Well, no, because, again, halachically, we're machmer. The Gemara Bracha says that, and no matter what they see when, so they always consider the blood to be tame. This Gemara is discussing the halacha from the Araisa perspective. The Midrabonim were machmer in ourselves, and any blood a woman sees. So
the
Shtano has to give him lagabi this. So lagabi this no, lagabi this no. In other words, Rav and Levi maintain that this is the mitzvah of a woman. We have no reason to assume that things changed. In other words, the Gemara is not telling us. Tosis sometimes does identify a phenomenon of nishtanu hativim, because the Gemara will identify a very discernible physical phenomena that we could see with our own eyes is not the case anymore. So the Rishonim will take note of that, and Rishonim will say, okay, nishtanu ativim. But here there's no reason to say that. The Gemara is talking about a phenomenon which is just as easily applicable today. A woman has a flow of blood. It could be continuous, it cannot be continuous. She could see it during within 40 days, after 40 days. The Gemara doesn't say something which is easily discernible as not being the case today. It just doesn't give us that information that I should say, well, that's not the case today. Rav or Levi don't tell me what the specific set of causes are that they're talking about, that I could say nishtanu ativim. You know, sometimes we should talk about something, and, you know, Rashi will talk about, you know, Rashi and Chulin, actually, in the case he talks about lungs of an animal. So Rashi says something which seems to be, you know, not exactly jive with the Messias, the reality of the way the lungs of an animal look today. So there are some people who, you know, they get like an adrenaline rush every time they see a Rishon or a Tana or a Amora say something that doesn't stem with the Messias. They say, oh, the Rishon, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, don't be a fool. Rashi saw lungs of an animal probably as often as you or me see cars today. And it was, during the prime period they lived, it was such a common phenomenon. Everybody, that's how you ate meat. You shechted an animal, you opened it up, you saw the lungs. So unless you're saying Rashi was like literally blind, Chas v'Shalom, that he didn't know how to identify what the lungs of an animal look like, there obviously has to be a different answer to that problem. It wasn't that Rashi didn't know how to count the lobes of a lung on an animal. So, you know, that's where this discussion becomes a little more, I guess, say sensitive, for lack of a better word. But over here, no, everybody would agree that it's the same thing C.S. Gemara is talking about.
There is, I believe, in Nida,
in Rav Yudkes. Yeah. That's the two I referenced earlier. Yeah, yeah.
Chas v'Shalom talks about part of the anatomy of
the cervical vagina,
which does not exist.
He's trying, right. That's the two where he's talking about the lung.
Different from the lungs of an animal, which, as you mentioned, were like out on the table every day in the butcher shop.
Yeah, but it's not so different because again, Chazal wouldn't say something. You know, even if you want to make the argument that most reject that, you know, that you're only aware of science based on the best knowledge of the scientists of the time,
why
we'll have a can of worms over here.
I'm not
trying to make problems. No, I'll tell you what our mystery is. You know, you can decide whether it's a problem. I'll tell you in a second. So, but then again, Chazal wouldn't say something that they weren't sure about. So if Chazal say emphatically, this is the anatomy of a woman, because of what the standards of the emistic mandate, if you're writing a paper about something, you wouldn't put on the paper something you're not sure about and pretend like you were sure. I mean, if you're an honest person, I would say. It happens all the time. If you're an intellectually honest person. So if Chazal put something in the Tarshu Baal Peh, which has been codified for all future generations, they would have put something which they didn't know to be true. So we have to assume, oh, they did know it to be true, because if they weren't sure, they'd tell us they weren't sure.
When they first learned it, it wasn't codified.
What? No, but Ravina and Ravashi put it down. So if there was any room for doubt, they would tell us that, oh, we're not sure about this.
There, I mean, the Hatha Sofer was, I think, is talking Rashi, is talking about Rashi.
I'm Rashi in the Rambam, I know. Yeah, no. So with Rashi, he's a little more comfortable saying. That's true.
There are statements of Chazal which are, let us say, mysterious, such as the fact that the hot springs of Tiberias.
Yeah, for sure. No, so that is true. The Samsev is going in Machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, how to identify. The Gemara talks about the anatomy of a woman, a lul and a prosdor, a hallway and a chamber and a room. What are we talking about over here? In other words, we know the woman's anatomy is there's a uterus. The uterus leads into the cervix, which leads into the vaginal canal, and that's it. What are Chazal talking about? So there's the Machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, the Perush of the Mishnah, exactly what that means. So there's the Chassam Sefer is, I mean, he's not like ready to jump into saying that. He says, okay, it seems like some of the Rishonim didn't have the Messiah down. So that, you know, you're saying, Dr. Schwab is saying, that's possible. You know, maybe it's possible Rashi didn't cut open, you know, cadavers every day to see what the anatomy of a woman looked like.
Well, yeah. Human beings, when Galen did his anatomy, and, you know, one of the things I've looked into over time is medical theories of the Mediterranean, which is going back in.
Okay.
But there was no human dissection. He didn't dissect human beings. Well,
it wasn't common. Right. I mean, it's ulcer, really. It should be ulcer.
And people like that. So, animals are animals, and humans are humans.
Right.
There are differences in anatomy.
Yeah, so if with the Rishonim is possible to them, now, just very quickly, I don't want to get too hung up on this issue because it could go on forever. As far as, why is it a Pab Zichda? So because the traditional Maseres, I'm not saying there's no opinions that disagree with this. There is an oft-quoted opinion of Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, but that opinion itself is very doubtful because it's based on a supposed letter that he wrote, or mimer that he wrote. However, those that have checked into the various kisayat of the mimer, there are some discrepancies in it, so it's not even clear that he ever authored this opinion. But let's assume he authored this opinion. Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that the widely accepted tradition is that when Chazal say something that's codified in the Gemara, Torah Shabbat Peh, they weren't saying it just based on the scientific knowledge of the time. They're saying it because whatever's put in the Gemara, they had a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Mesinai. Now, it does seem that some things over here are, you know, merely just statements of biological facts. But as the Maharal writes, and others say as well, everything that's in the Gemara really has much deeper levels of meaning that has ramifications for Torah and Halacha as well. So it's not just that Chazal were like, you know, making random observations about nature, and they're like, okay, well, it's an observation about nature. They based it on the Messiah of the time. No, everything that Chazal put into the Gemara is based on his tradition from the Torah Mesinai. Now, if it came from the Torah Mesinai, he got it from the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so it has to be correct. That is the normative tradition. There are those who try to bend over backwards, trying to say that Chazal didn't know what they were talking about. But again, that's not the norm. That's not the widely accepted Messiah. There are things that Chazal say that don't seem to jive with the Messiah. There are various explanations. There are explanations. And even if there aren't, it's okay. You know, you don't die from a question. It's fine. Okay, says the Gemara. Meisivei. Dam hayoledes shalai tovla. So the Gemara now asks the question. Dam hayoledes shalai tovla. The Brisa says that dam of the blood of a woman who gave birth who was not tovla. In other words, so she went into Yemei Tahara. However, she did not go to the mikveh yet. So what's her status? So the Gemara, the Brisa says, Beishami Omer Mikiroiko Uchamemi Ragleha. So the status of her blood then, during that time period, is like her saliva and her urine, which means that it's only Mitame Midorabonon when it's moist, but not when it's dried. So Beishami essentially says that Midoraisa she's tar, despite the fact that she did not go to the mikveh yet. Because the Yemei Tahara have begun, so Yemei Tahara, she's tahar midoraisa whether or not she goes to the mikvah. Midrabbanon chazal or mitame mitame the blood that she sees. Beis Hillel says no. If she did not go to the mikvah, even though on the calendar she has begun her Yemei Tahara, she's still tame midoraisa. Okay, so the Gemara says kosalka daitoch. The Gemara thinks now, the Brais is talking about a case of the Pascha, where there was not a continuous flow from Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tahara, but rather there was a cessation of flow, and then she began seeing again during Yemei Tahara, and in that case, the Gemara is stating a machlokes Beshami and Beshil. So no, why does the Gemara have the Salkadai? So it stopped before the Yemei Tahara began, and then she began seeing again during the Yemei Tahara. That's the Gemara's Havmin over here. Why does the Gemara have such a Havmin? So the Rishonim say, because the Braisa doesn't specify to us what scenario it's talking about, so we automatically assume it's talking about all scenarios, whether there was a flow, a continuous flow, or even if there wasn't a continuous flow. Why is that important? So the Gemara will explain. So if we're talking about where it was not one continuous flow, but rather it was a new Re'iya that she began seeing during Yemei Tahara, so Bishleim Olarav, I understand according to Rav, the Amar Mayon Echod, who Rav says that it all comes from the same place anyways. Mishum Hochi, that's why Mitame Lach the Yovish. That's why Beis Hillel maintains that it's Tame Midoraisa. In other words, because Beis Hillel holds that you need a Tevila to affect a change in her status for it to be Tahar blood instead of being Tame blood. But the reason why that's true according to Rav is because, again, there's no real fundamental difference in the identity, the physical identity of the blood, where and how it came from. It's a Gzeres HaKosov. So according to Rav, I understand Beis Hillel Shita. The Gzeres HaKosov is during Yemei Tumah, it's Tameh. During Yemei Tahara, assuming she went to the mikvah, it's Tahar. That's a necessary prerequisite to be Tahar. She has to go to the mikvah. That's the understanding according to Beis Hillel in Rav's opinion. Right, but that doesn't present a fundamental problem to us because it's all Gzeres HaKosev anyways. I could say for the same price, the Gzeres HaKosev mandates that in order for the blood during Yemei Tahara to be identified as Tahara, she has to go to the mikvah first. But Elul Levi, but according to Levi, who...
Right,
Beis Hillel. In Beis Hillel, right, we're asking Beis Hillel now. Elul Levi, but according to Levi, who understands that no, on some biological level, there is a difference between the Tahar blood and the Tami blood. The Amar Shnei Mayonosin, who says the blood comes from two different places or sources, Amay Mitame, when I say that term, different places or sources, I don't mean that literally, as I explained from the Chassam Sofer, that's just the easiest way of translating the words. Amay Mitame Lach V'Yovesh, according to Beis Hillel, why is it Mitame Lach V'Yovesh? If the blood came If we're talking about where the blood came from, she has a new re'iyah during Yemei Tahara, the blood is coming from a Tahar place. Why should it matter that she didn't go to the mikvah yet? Again, physically, the blood is Tahar blood. So the fact that she didn't go to the mikvah should not concern us, even according to Beis Hillel. That's the Gemara's question, according to Levi.
Why are you presuming that this stopped?
Because the Braisa didn't differentiate. So the general rule is that if a Braisa gives us a scenario, we assume it applies in all cases. So that means the Braisa is saying it's halacha Beis Hillel, that the dam is tamei midoraisa, even if there was a cessation of flow. That means even if she began a new re'iyah during Yemei Tahara, Beis Hillel is still tamei midoraisa if she didn't go to the mikvah. The most question according to Levi is, but what do you mean? According to Levi, the basis of the Tahara status of the blood is because it comes from a Tahar place. So why do I care she didn't go to the mikvah? The blood, be'etzem, is Tahar.
The blood concealed area does not affect
Tumah.
At some point, it becomes.
You're saying right. The point of the contact when it leaves. You're saying.
Yeah, when it leaves.
Then it's revealed. So why isn't it Tumah?
Yeah.
That could be true. It could be. No, that's what I'm saying. It could be, it will be tummy, but a lower level of tumah because it's
right.
Only in, from coming into contact with a nida. But the blood itself is not an avatum of dam nida. So that's the more that. Okay, so that.
Yeah, I mean, you see the time can change the status of something simply past time.
Yes.
Nowadays.
How did they have to bring the carbon?
Well, I assume it basically destroyed there was time which made it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Also, interestingly, the term source in English works for both Rav and Levi.
The term for source, yes. Source does work, yes. But again, I'm just saying, I don't mean to imply that it's a biologically different source, it just means different cause. Okay. Says the Gemara, so Amalach Levi, so Levi, to answer this question, we'll tell you, Hacha b'mayeski. Now, what are we talking about in the Brayos over here? Bishoy fast. We're talking about where it was a continuous flow. In other words, your assumption to ask the question that the Brayos is talking about where it was a new flow, she saw dam during the Meitoma, that subsided, and then, or ceased, and then she began seeing a new flow during Meitara. That's not true. The Brayos is talking specifically about a case where it was a continuous flow. Since it was a continuous flow, so even Levi would agree. It's the same blood that she began seeing during Yemei Tumah and never stopped. That's why it's Tumah, according to Beis Hillel. Lach means that the blood is moist, and Yavish means it's dry.
That it's still flowing.
No. Lach Yavish is just, when we're talking about Tumah that that Chazal decreed, so that there's a different, they differentiated for various reasons. I think you might have learned about them already. They differentiated between whether the item is moist or dry. Moist just means that its properties, it's moist. You know, exactly what they get their moist is. The Chazanesh says, you know, in other contexts, the Chazanesh writes moist is like it could be poured.
But what does that do with
this more? Because Beishami maintains that Midoraisa, even if she doesn't go to the mikvah, when the Yemei Tahara begin, the blood is still tar automatically. Merely the passage of time of the days of Tumah being over, now that she's holding by Yemei Tahara, that is enough to make the blood tahar. So Beis Shammai says, but if she didn't go to the mikvah, Chazal decreed a Tumah, and that the nature of that Tumah is that if it's moist, it's Tumah, but if it's dry, it's Tahar.
It's the same blood, whether it's days of Tumah or Tahara.
What's that again?
It could be dry, whether it's Yemei Tahara.
We're talking about only during if she sees it during Yemei Tahara. If she sees blood during Yemei Tumah, then it's tummy regardless, because tummy midoraisa. The distinction between dry and moist is only applicable if we're talking about a tumah that's rabbinic in nature. So Beis Shammai is saying if she didn't go to the mikvah, the tumah during Yemei Tahara, the tumah is only rabbinic in nature. So that's why there's a distinction between moist and dry. So the Gemara says, Ibi Shoyfas, if we're talking about Shoyfas, where there was a continuous flow, then my time of the Beis Shammai. Why would Beis Shammai say that the blood is Tahar, at least Midoraisa? The blood is Tamei blood. It started during Yemei Tumah. The Gemara answers, Kosavi Beis Shammai Maya Nechoru. So Levi concedes that according to Beis Shammai, that it's Maya Nechor. So that's why Beis Shammai holds that even though it's one continuous flow, during Yemei Tahara, it will be Tahar, it will be pure. Levi just saying his opinion in Beis Hillel. Now, Basil holds it. Shtei Mayonos, so then that's what you have to say that's talking about where it's Shrei Fast, and that's why it's Tummy. So the Gemara says that, so now the Gemara clarifies. Bishlei Mo Lelev,
they
ask.
When they were saying their opinions, they're just saying in Basil.
In Basil, yeah, because that's how we pass it. We don't pass them like Beis Shammai.
No, I just.
Yeah, they were saying their opinions in Basil. Yeah, the same Basil. So the Gemara now asks on Rav, Bishlei Mo Lelev, I understand according to Levi, Hainu De'ika Ben Beis Shammai Yubasil. So according to Levi, the difference, the distinction between the opinions of Beis Shammai and Basil is very clear. Levi says that Beis Shammai holds that it's Mayon Echad, Beis Shammai holds it Shtei Mayonos. Beautiful Machlokes. El Rav may be Nayu. But according to Rav, so what's the difference between Beis Shammai and Basil? The more, when it says Mayon, it doesn't mean to ask what is the practical ramifications between their Machlokes. The Braisa told us, we know. Beis Shammai holds that it's Tamei Midoraisa, Beis Shammai holds it's not. The more sometimes, the more means Mayon, sometimes it means what's the practical ramification or not Kamina between the opinions. Sometimes, as in over here, the Gemara means to ask us as Mai Binayu, what is the difference in Havona and their Machlokes? In other words, what are they arguing about? I know what the practical Nafkaminas are, but what does their Machlokes revolve around? If they both hold that is Mayon Echad, so then why are they arguing about this case? That's what Gemara means to ask over here.
I thought that Machlokes is, Beis Shammai is days only, and Beis Hillel holds days plus Mikvah.
Beautiful, yes, that's exactly what the Gemara says. You want to know what the Gemara's Havmina was, and why wasn't that Pashas of the Gemara already? So I think the Rishon, maybe the Rashba speaks out something over here, but yeah, that's a good question, Lahar. That seems pretty self-understood from the Braisa, that Beis Hillel holds that you need both elements. You need days, and you need Tefillah in order to make Ratar, and Beis Shammai holds that you only need days. I think the Rashba says an explanation. I forget what he says, though.
That's what I was going to say now, but...
Yeah, the Gemara will clarify that. No, but you're right, it's a good question. What was the Gemara thinking in its question? Mai Binayu. Again, you look at the Braisa, that's pretty clear. That's what the Machlokes is. Whether you need two prerequisites or just one. So what was the Gemara thinking now, Mai Binayu? Let's see if Rashi says anything over here. My time at the Beis Hillel, the Mitamid. It seems like the Gemara understands that if you hold that it's Mayon Echad, the Gemara is understanding that we only determine the status of the blood based on the Metzius of the blood, where it comes from. So if Rav maintains that it's a Gezeres HaKosov, that just because it comes from one place, we have to say that we're forced to say it's a Gezeres HaKosov, that blood which is seen now is Tahar blood. So why would Tevila affect that? Why would Tevila be a necessary prerequisite to affect that change in status of the blood? The Torah just says, a simple reading of the Pesukim indicates that it's just merely the passage of time of Yemei Tahara, which affects the change of status of the blood. That's what I would think. If you look at the Pesukim, the Gemara mentioned, the Pesukim mentions Tefillah with regard to, like Karbonos and things like that, but as far as the status of the blood, the simple reading of the Pesukim seems to indicate it's just the mere fact that she's holding by Yemei Tahara. That's what I would say, off the top of my head.
She's not Mutra.
What's that?
It has nothing to do with being Mutra Levaila.
No, it does, but being Mutra Levaila also, I would say, that the being Mutra Levaila has to do with the status of the blood. The Pesukim say that during Yemei Tahara, her blood is tar. Her status regarding the Beis HaMikdash, okay, that's a different story, going into our bias, okay. Says the Gemara. The Gemara explains, Iko Binayu, the Machlokes is like this, Yomeyu Tzvilo. The passage of days and the requirement to do tefillah in the mikvah. The Beis Shammai, Savri Beis Shammai, maintains b'yomei tola rachmona, that the Torah hinges the halacha of her tahara solely on the passage of days, and that's all that's necessary in order for her to be tahar. Uvesel Savri Beis Hillel maintains b'yomei tefillah. No, you require two prerequisites: days and tefillah, like you spoke out already. Okay, so let's just see Rashi on this passage of the Gemara. The Poska Yom Shnayim, says Rashi, the Gemara initially understood in the Braisa that we're talking about where there was a cessation, a break, between the Tumah flow and the Torah flow. And that's why, Beis Hillel is Mitame, whether it's moist or dry, meaning that's why Beis Hillel holds that it's Tumah on a Doraisa level. Because it came from a Mayon Tumah, and Beis Hillel maintains that you're only Tar with days and Tefillah. That's all according to Rav, but according to Levi, it's coming from a tahar place, the chiposka niskamatome. That when once the tome flow ceased And now the new flow during Yemei Tahara began, so it's Tahara blood. Why is she Tamei Kor Tebesil? So the Gemara adds, next Rashi, Bishai fast. It was a continuous flow. So really, the blood she's seeing during Yemei Tumah are actually, during Yemei Tahara rather, the blood she's seeing even during Yemei Tahara is really coming from a Tamei place. Mitoch Yemei Tumah le Yemei Tahara, but the Pascha she didn't stop. Okay. Bishlei Malevi says Rashi, the Amar Levi Sil Beis Mayonos, who says it according to Besil. It's two Mayonos. So then I understand what the difference between Bishami Bisil is. That meaning to say, says Rashi, to the Bisil according to Bisil, it's really two flows. The cave of the Loposak, since the flow didn't stop, so she's Tameo. The Lonistam Atome, because the initial flow from the Tommy source never ceased. Well, Bishami, according to Bishami, Mayanecharu, Bishami maintains that she's Tahar, because it's all one place. So all that she needs in order to become tar is merely the passage of time into Yemei Tahara, which you have, so that's why she's tar. El Rav says, Rashi, the Amar Mayan Echadu, according to Rav, who says that it's all coming from one place, if Basil is going like him, which is what we're assuming now, that Basil also holds his Mayan Echad, so Ma'iko, Kalamar, the Michael Miflegi, what are they disagreeing about? If it's coming from one place, so then presumably all that's necessary in order to be mitahar her blood during Yemei Tahara is the passage of time. Why should I need a tefillah? So what's the reason, the rationale for Beisil with mitame? So the Gemara answers, next Rashi, b'yomayu tefillah. That Beisil holds you need two things in order for her to become tahar. Loishna shrei fastes Rashi, whether it was one continuous flow. Loishna paisekas, whether it was a separate flow, calls Mashal like Tavla, so long as she did not go to the mikvah, heavy dama tummy be melee dosser, her dam is tummy during the Yemei Leida. Okay, so now the Gemara continues and the Gemara wants to bring another. The Gemara goes through a series of proofs that tries to bring in support of either Rav or Levi. So
but going to the mikvah, if after Yemei Tumah, a regular case is this, you don't go to the mikvah.
Yeah.
Does everyone agree that it's still
Tumah? No. During Yemei Tumah or during Yemei Tahara?
Again, Yemei Tumah.
During Yemei Tumah, yeah. Everybody wishes still Tumah.
And then right away you're going to get into 40 days. The mikvah's not a prerequisite.
So it's a prerequisite, but she has to go to the mikvah during Yemei Tahara. If she goes to the mikvah during Yemei Tumah,
no,
it's not going to help.
Yemei Tahara.
Yeah.
She has to go?
According to Basil, yes. That's Machlokas B'Sham Basil. According to Basil, she has to go to the mikvah in conjunction with her entering into Yemei Tahara in order for her to be tar. She doesn't have to go to the mikvah. Just merely with her entering into Yemei Tahara, that alone makes her tar.
Abitar,
yes, yes, yes. The people shouldn't get confused because, you know, it's dam. And without the hecker, so to speak, without the distinction of going to the mikvah, people will say, "Well, this dam is tar, this dam is this. Why isn't this dam tar?" People will have trouble differentiating between, "Well, this dam you saw on this calendar day, this dam you saw on that calendar day." So, in order to make it that people don't make that mistake, so b'shamis, the people have to go to the mikvah. There must be able to go to the mikvah. Yeah.
Well, b'shamis, she's still tummy.
Midrabanan.
Yeah.
So according to Bishama, she's only...
The dam will be tummy.
She's also Bishama, she's also labailah. She never went to the mikvah. In the Gemara, there's always two questions. I don't know, nowadays it's only one question, which she's also Motaris labailah. And they were all two questions. Talking about her Tumah and Tahara status as far as kachem and things like that. And also her status versus vis-a-vis her husband. Vis-a-vis her husband, Torah says she has to go to the mikvah. That's true. But yeah, here we're discussing the status of the blood.
I said it's Tahar, according to Beis Shammai.
Yeah.
If she's Tahar, why can't she be her husband?
The blood is Tahar. The blood is Tahar. She still has a Tumah. She still has a bodily Tumah from Damanita that she had from after
she
was born. Yeah, yeah. She didn't go, that the Torah says explicitly that for her husband, she has to go to the mikvah. We're talking about over here is the status of the blood. And, you know, what that blood does. Somebody touches it. What's their status, etc. Okay. Says the Gemara. Yeah.
Is that addressed? In other words, she touches another woman.
Yeah.
Can you tummy her?
As a nido? Yeah, she can tummy her, yeah.
If you didn't go to mikvah.
Yeah, no, she's still tummy. But the we're talking about the status of the blood over here.
I'm not asking about the blood.
Yeah, no. The woman herself is still tummy.
And she's in tummy another human being.
Yeah. Okay. Where are we? Toshma. Another bride. So Moida Bioletus Bezoiv, Shimitama Lach Biyovish. Even Bishami agrees. Bishami, who says normally that just with the passage of the into Yemei Tahara, she's the Dhamma star, right? I have to be more precise in my speech. So Bioletus Bezoiv, Shimitama Lach Biyovish. That the blood by she had the baby during her Yemei Ziva, and there's a continuous cycle that a woman goes through, Yemei Nida, Yemei Ziva, I'm sure you learned about that. So let's say she had the baby during her Yud Aleph Yemei Ziva, Yud Aleph Yemei Ziva, the days of Ziva. So then Bishami agrees that she's Mitamolach V'Yovish. And then we don't say, oh, now that it's Yemei Tahara, so the blood is Tahara now. No, it's Tamei Midoraisa. So the Gemara says, Salka, that if we think of Yerachanami the Pascha that we're talking about, where she had a new flow. So during the Yemei Tahara. So Bishle, Mother Rabbi, in the sign according to Rav Damar Mayon Nechot, who says that it's one flow, it's one Mayon, Vishimachem Mitame Lach V'Yovish. That's why it's Mitame Lach V'Yovish. El Levi, Damar Shnei Mayonos, and according to Levi, why do I care that she had the baby during her Yemei Ziva? Shnei Mayonos, so the blood that she's seeing now during Yemei Tahara, it's Tahara blood. Am I Mitame Lach V'Yovish? So the Gemara answers, so Amar Lach Levi will tell you, Hachanai Bishafas. The same answer as talking about where there was a continuous flow. So really, the blood is Tamei blood. The Gemara asks, "Zibeshayfaz lamai yitzruch." So then, what's the chiddush then? Of course, it's tamei. The Gemara answers, "Lebishami yitzruch." The chiddush is for bishami. Afal gav the kamei bishami mayon echad. Even though bishami holds that it's mayon echad, uviyomi tol rachmono, and the Torah says that it's tali merely on the passage of time. So now that it's yemei tahara, the blood should be tar. Hani mila biyoledus greidita. That's only talking about a regular yoledus. The lehu yomi whose yemei tuma have been completed. But Yoledus Bezoiv, the Gemara says the fundamental distinction over here, the crux of the distinction, according to Bisham, between a Yoledus, a regular Yoledus, and a Yoledus Bezoiv, is that a Yoledus Bezoiv midoraisa requires Sfira Zayinikim. Nowadays, when a woman counts 7 clean days, that's because we're not sure whether she's a Zava or a Nida. But midoraisa, a Nida, does not need to count 7 clean days. She can see blood, and on the whole seventh day, go to the mikvah. A zav is what needs to count blood for seven clean days. So since the yoledus requires a sphere of 7 clean days, absent the counting of those 7 clean days, it's considered that she never entered into Yemei Tahara. So it doesn't help. So it's not considered, according to Levi, that it's a new mayon, a mayon of Tahara. It's not a mayon of Tahara. By a Zova, a mayon of Tahara only begins after there's been a counting of 7 clean days. Absent that, it's still considered a mayon of Tumah. So that's why Bishami agrees, that's the Bishami agrees by a Yoledus Bezoiv to Beisel, that would be Tamei Midoraisa, even though she's technically during the times of Yemei Tumah.
So simple Pascha is not enough here even.
Right, she needs the counting. The counting of 7 clean days are integral to creating the status of a Mayan of Tahara. Without that, so then it's still a Mayan of Tumah, so that's why Bishami agrees Tamei Midoraisa. Okay, hold it over here.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to translate source and differentiate, you can always say etiology versus
source. Etiology?
Etiology.
Is it what, a fancier word for source?
Etiology. Well, a woman has a nosebleed.
Yeah.
They've got a nosebleed no matter why.
Right.
That's the source. On the other hand, the reason they have a nosebleed can be the existing zone.
Right.
Or if they've got Ebola virus.
So the word for that would be etiology.
Etiology.
How do you spell that?
ETI.